Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. The macrobiotic diet is one of the most popular plant-based diets in the world. And now there's a new vegan macrobiotic cookbook. Today our guests are the co-authors of that cookbook, The One Peaceful World Cookbook, written by Alex Jack and Sachi Kato. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, a plant-based diet leads to twice as much weight loss as a traditional diabetes diet, according to research presented at the American Diabetes Association's 77th Scientific Sessions and published in the Journal of the American College of Nutrition. Research compared weight loss of 74 patients with type 2 diabetes on either a vegetarian or a non-vegetarian diet of equal caloric value. Those in the vegetarian group lost twice as much of the body weight and reduced their fat in and around their muscles at a higher rate compared to the non-vegetarian group. The vegetarian group also experienced more energy and satiety during the dietary intervention. The authors note fat reduction in cells improves insulin sensitivity and thus more efficient metabolic rates. Here's a study that shows a good reason for being nuts about walnuts. Walnuts pack a more potent heart-healthy punch than other nuts. Now, you sprinkle some walnuts on your salad this evening because your heart will thank you. When it comes to heart health benefits, roasted and raw walnuts rule the roost, a new study shows. Researchers from the University of Scranton in Scranton, Pennsylvania, compared the amount of powerful antioxidants called polyphenols in 9 types of roasted and raw nuts and 2 types of peanut butter. They also tested just how effective the antioxidants in the nuts are in regard to heart health using lab analysis. A clear winner emerged from the nutty bunch, and that was the walnuts. The findings appear in the journal Food and Function. Now, whether roasted or raw, walnuts beat the competition. Walnuts were loaded with the highest amount of polyphenols. These compounds are believed to reduce heart disease risk by lowering levels of blood cholesterol, improving blood flow, and cooling the inflammation that's been linked to heart disease. What's more, nuts which are high in fat don't necessarily lead to weight gain. Walnuts not only have the most polyphenols, but they also have the most potent polyphenols, the researchers say. We'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, what are the nutritional benefits of brown rice? Well, the versatility of whole grain brown rice makes it a favorite accompaniment to many dishes, and it has a good source of dietary fiber as a nutritional powerhouse, possibly promoting cardiovascular health and protecting against certain types of cancers, all while giving a feeling of satisfied fullness, helping with weight management. And because less processing allows its fiber and essential fats to remain intact, and brown rice may help lower the risk of both diabetes and high cholesterol. Brown rice provides strong doses of manganese, selenium, and magnesium, as well as phytonutrients with their anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
The macrobiotic diet is one of the most popular plant-based diets in the world today, and now there's a new vegan macrobiotic cookbook. And today, our guests on the program are the co-authors of that new cookbook. It's called The One Peaceful World Cookbook. And it's written and actually co-authored by our guests today, Alex Jack and Sachi Kato. Well, welcome.
Hi, Dr. Westerdahl.
Nice to have you on the program today. And The One Peaceful World Cookbook. It's a beautiful book, contemporary whole food cooking and natural remedies, over 150 vegan macrobiotic recipes for vibrant health and happiness. And Alex, first of all, let's get acquainted with each of you. Alex, how did you first get interested in macrobiotic diet? And give us a little of your background.
Well, my background is in philosophy, and I was a journalist in Vietnam during the Vietnam War. And I met the spiritual leader of Buddhism in Vietnam, and he was the one who introduced me to the vital importance of food, not only for health, but for society and for spiritual development.
Okay. And then later on, did you work at the Cushy Institute? You did some work with them?
After I came back from Vietnam, I became involved in the peace movement. I was living in Boston as a graduate student in theology. And I became acquainted with the macrobiotic community and began to attend Micho Kushi's lectures. And he was teaching the same thing as the Zen master in Vietnam. And from that point forward, I became involved in East-West Journal. I was the editor-in-chief for a number of years. That was the countercultural magazine of the 70s and early 80s. And then I began to write books with both of the Kushis and later became director of the Cushy Institute.
Okay. And Sachi, how did you get interested in macrobiotics and what's your background?
Yes, I grew up in Japan. I was raised with whole grain and a traditional Japanese diet. But of course, in my 20s, I ate lots of sugar and addicted to coffee. And I moved to Los Angeles, where I pursued to be an artist. And at that time, I really depleted myself with those sugar and coffee and muffins and food at the time. And luckily, I found a natural food restaurant at the time in Los Angeles. That was actually only one restaurant at the time in LA of macrobiotic restaurant. That's how I got introduced to macrobiotics. Then I remember how I felt after eating simple miso soup and brown rice and greens and ate there. And that's how I realized, oh, really, is I have to go back to food. That's how I grew up. And that food is essential to health. And eventually that led me to study at the Cushy Institute to become a practitioner.
Oh, okay. Now, we have you both on from different parts of the country, one up in San Francisco, one back east. So we'll try to work this out as we talk in our discussion. But first of all, I guess maybe I could talk to Alex first, and then Sachi, you can mention anything as far as maybe defining for those people that they've heard the term macrobiotic and macrobiotic diet. And I know there was a period of time, I'm a nutritionist registered dietitian, there were concerns whether people were getting all the nutrients they needed on a macrobiotic diet. But now things through education and books like your beautiful cookbook has educated people how to follow a macrobiotic diet and do it in a healthy way and making sure you're getting all your nutrients. Alex, why don't you tell me a little bit about what a macrobiotic diet is?
Well, the term macrobiotics is actually an ancient term going back thousands of years. It was coined by Hippocrates, the father of medicine. And throughout the centuries, health-minded individuals, communities have used the term in various forms. And most recently, it was reintroduced in Japan by George Osawa and Michio Kushi. And the diet that they introduced was a very traditional diet based on whole cereal grains as the center of the meal, then complemented by vegetables from land and sea, that means sea vegetables, but also beans and bean products like tofu and tempeh, fruit seeds and nuts, and other predominantly plant quality foods. So that's the macrobiotic way. And over the last generation, there have been many scientific and medical studies that we've cooperated with. The earliest were at Harvard University, which showed that the macrobiotic community at that time had the lowest normal blood pressures and cholesterol of any community in the United States. So the medical profession has done many other studies in cancer, diabetes, and others showing the benefits of a plant-based diet.
Now, who actually, and either one of you can answer, you mentioned who the founder of the macrobiotic diet is?
We say that the roots go back in history to both East and West. We look at Hippocrates in many ways as the grandfather of macrobiotics in the West. Mm-hmm. We look at, for example, the Yellow Emperor, the great healing classic in China going back thousands of years, who introduced yin and yang and the principles of the five transformations and the other categories of Far Eastern thought as the father or grandfather of macrobiotics in the East. But it has its roots all over the world. We see macrobiotics as a planetary culture. And so there's really no one founder.
Now, how does Michio Kushi fit into the history of macrobiotics?
Well, Michio was born in Japan, that's in a wartime. I know that Alex has a book about his, he helped for his autobiography, that he experienced World War II in his youth time, that he really struck that peace is the way that he really wanted to share to the world. Mm-hmm. And he actually met Jojo Osawa in Japan at that time in activities for seeking peace. And he actually learned that food is actually the essential to start the peace movement that he couldn't believe at first. But when he moved to New York, that he started to see that the relation between the food and the peace, the inner peace, it actually that leading to the society and then towards the planet health and the peace, that how it's associated with it.
Yeah, Michio, as a child, had lived in Hiroshima in Japan. Mm. And shortly after the end of the war, about a month afterward, he visited the atomic bomb city. And he was so moved by the total devastation that he resolved to devote himself to peace. And as Sachi said, he then tried many different approaches, including legal and political, which was his orientation. But ultimately, he found that a more dietary or spiritual approach was the foundation for peace. And then after coming to New York, he began to teach and spread that message in the United States, Europe, and around the world.
So hence the name of your cookbook, you call it the One Peaceful World Cookbook.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And right. There's a direct tie-in, as Sachi said.
Okay.
Maybe you can explain, Sachi, the meaning of the character for peace in the Far East.
That is actually has the kanji in Japanese. It has that grain on the left side and a mouse on the right side. And that's character meaning peace. It's actually totally that we can understand that our ancestors understand that by eating grains that makes our inner peace will come up with by eating grains. So how interesting to see that from the kanji that we can see it, that actually the grain, whole grain-based diet is the way to go to make the world peaceful.
Interesting. Well, you know, several years ago, I lived in Hawaii, and I had the opportunity of meeting Michio Kushi in Hawaii, and I'm going to play right now an interview that I did with him. He had just written a book that had been out on the macrobiotics diet and cancer, and the interview that I did with him was actually on a television program that I hosted, and here we talk about the macrobiotic diet and its role in preventing and even treating cancer.
Another great speaker here at LifeVest Maui is Mr. Michio Kushi. And Mr. Kushi is one of the foremost world-leading experts on macrobiotics and also the founder of the very famous Kushi Institute. Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. You've written quite a bit and lectured quite a bit about the role that diet plays in cancer.
Yeah.
How can a meatless diet be beneficial for someone trying to prevent cancer?
Yes, there are many cancers have different type of cause, but most common food is heavy animal food, including meat, beef, pork, chickens, and eggs, and also various dairy. Now, more and more scientific research, nutritional research, is covering many cancers are caused by those foods, as well as the cancers are associated very closely with day-to-day eating, whole grains, vegetables, beans, etc. That is much more healthier and happier, and you can prevent cancer. But not only prevent, if become cancer, if we change diet more that way and microbiome way, then many people will get the benefit for recoveries too. I am very, very happy. And this Maui and Hawaii, so beautiful islands. I hope this place becomes a paradise to shine the whole world.
Alex, tell us about the 7 qualities of macrobiotic cooking.
Number 1, that the food is natural. Number 2, that it's predominantly organic. Number 3, that it's seasonal, so we try to eat according to the seasonal change. Number 4, it is ecological, or it's good for the planet as well as ourselves and our communities. Number 5, it is unprocessed for the most part, or we might say minimally or naturally processed. Number 6, that it's locally grown. Of course, this is very important in today's modern world where we have CSAs or community supported agriculture through aids. And then finally, sustainable, that it will contribute to the next generation and endless generations after that.
Well, you know, there's actually a dwindling art of cooking at home these days. And for someone that, let's say, they want to follow a macrobiotic diet, take your cookbook and use it in their home, how would you set up your kitchen to be successful in making a shift in your lifestyle so that you can eat a more macrobiotic, a plant-based type of diet?
Yes, that's a serious issue, isn't it? The diminishing art of home cooking.
Yes.
That I think is that U.S. Department of Agriculture says that 2014 was the first year in American history in which the Americans spent more money on prepared restaurant food than they spent on food cooked, eaten at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that the trend is increasing and more in today's busy world. You know, the restaurant food can be very fun and inspirational, but we can't control what's in it, especially it can be the table salt and the amount of salt or the sugar or seasonings that we can't really control over. And my belief is that the health is always come from home, the home cooking. So I want to address that. Hopefully the people take this opportunity to take this book, in which we have whole range of the whole grain section to natural sweetened desserts and vegetables in this cookbook. The kitchen setup, it can be totally different to make it to macrobiotic kitchen. But if you just buy dry items such as beans and whole grains in bulk or in package and just store it in a shelf and ordered and labeled in a jar so that will keep it fresh longer and organized and so you know where exactly. And like Alex said, that the produce to buy in local markets or farmers market as fresh as possible. And so you know what's fresh in the kitchen. And try to buy the fresh food a couple times a week to keep it fresh so it's not wasteful. So that's my suggestion.
Okay. Well, I just want listeners to know again that we are talking with Alex Jack and Sachi Kato today. And they're the authors of the book, The New Beautiful Cookbook. And it's put out Ben Bella, but is a publisher. And it's called The One Peaceful World Cookbook. And one of you can answer this. Tell us about how within this peaceful philosophy of cooking and food preparation for health and wellness, how does a plant-based diet maybe improve a person's mental health?
There are many dimensions, for example, many systems, functions, and organs in the body that will benefit from a more plant-based diet. Perhaps one that we can all relate to is blood sugar levels. And we all know that, for example, if we have too many sugary foods, our blood sugar will go up. And then consequently, it may then begin to crash, and we can become kind of oscillating between very manic or depressive type of states. And something like a majority or even 75% of people in modern society today suffer from what we call hypoglycemia or chronic low blood sugar, so that they require then, like in the mid-morning or mid-afternoon, some kind of sugary snack in order to bring their blood sugar levels up so that they'll feel better. But for much of the day, they feel irritated or annoyed or that kind of thing. So the macrobiotic way, which we avoid for the most part, you know, highly processed sugars and sweeteners, we use, for example, the natural sweetness of many foods, ranging from sweet vegetables to corn, some of this like sweet rice and other grains. But then also we use grain-based sweeteners, for example, brown rice syrup or barley malt, which have a much more moderating effect on blood sugar levels. So we don't have the highs and the lows. So this will help stabilize our emotions and lead to a more clear mind and sound judgment. So that's just one dimension of how we can begin to feel better and control our emotions with food.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to add to Alex that, you know, so many people like in nowadays with the trend that people think that the grain causes that blood sugar problems.
Right.
And which is actually that they're talking about refined sugar.
Right. That's exactly right.
And the macrobiotics is centers of whole grains, which is totally different. Actually, whole grains that promotes that, that regulates the blood sugar. So, you know, we have like 14 recipes in the rice section, whole grain section, that they can start from the simply cooking brown rice to elaborate brown rice paella and so forth, so that, that they learned to how to make the simple brown rice and then they make it into porridge the next day and so forth. So hopefully that will give them good energy, because the whole grains sustains that most gradual the fuel through the day.
Right, as a complex carbohydrate compared to those refined, simple carbohydrates that do all the refining. And it's interesting because Mr. Kushi makes this statement, the simplest dishes are the hardest to make. The highest art in cooking is the preparation of a bowl of rice.
Mm-hmm. That's actually true.
So is there any secrets to making rice correct?
Oh, yes. In this cookbook, that there's like many detailed tips in there. The people who talk to me too in the cooking classes that how to make the really nice, delicious brown rice, because it's hard for them. So there's like easy tips, like, for example, get a frame deflector, which is that the metal disc that goes underneath the pot that will prevent the food from burning.
Mm-hmm.
And also the soaking overnight, so that will make it more softening. Sometimes brown rice that eat in a restaurant is really dry and hard to chew and digest.
Right.
But it's a way to make it absolutely delicious. So something like that, just soaking overnight and using like enough dense pot to make it like easy heat conductive pots, and also using frame deflector to make it not from burning. So that's a tip that, and there's more tips in this cookbook.
Yeah, another aspect of cooking is to put your energy into the food, so that if you're more calm and peaceful, the food itself will turn out to be more tranquil and give that kind of calm vibration and energy. On the other hand, if you're irritated, annoyed, preoccupied with something else or, you know, some kind of emotional state, then that kind of energy goes into the food and people actually will begin to absorb that, you know, in a very subtle way. So that's cardinal principle of macrobiotic cooking.
Totally agree with it. Mr. Kushi and his late wife, Aveline Kushi, often taught in the classroom that how important the cook's attitude, and that's part of our spiritual development through cooking. And that was striking to me.
I think that's kind of the universal principle. Even in the United States, they've always talked about, you know, they'd give all these ingredients that go in a recipe, and then some will say, and love, right?
And love, yes, exactly.
That's one of the ingredients, cooking with love.
Yeah. No,
well, this is a wonderful cookbook, 150 vegan macrobiotic recipes for vibrant health and happiness. Once again, the book is called The One Peaceful World Cookbook by Alex Jack and Sachi Kato, and it's published by Ben Bella. And, you know, I'm going to ask you each of them. There's so many wonderful recipes, beautiful pictures. I mean, I'm getting hungry just looking through the pages here. It's all wonderfully done. Great recipes, a good balance of all different types of recipes. Maybe, Sachi, what's your favorite recipe in this book?
Oh, gosh, it's hard to select one thing. I specifically made to make it all balanced and from the simple recipe to elaborate to fit all levels of cook. And I personally like a tangy barley salad with lemon shallot vinaigrette. It's page 58. Because it's just wonderful. And sometimes it's not easy to cook whole barley, but in this way, it's actually makes it really simple and it just comes out. It's wonderful. And there are many dressings that I love in this, that I included in this cookbook, such as tahini dressing to cilantro sauce and tofu sour creams. Those are great to have it because even just a simple boiled kale into something elaborate at meals.
And Alex, do you have a favorite recipe?
One of my favorite recipes is pecan gluten-free jam thumbprint cookies.
Okay.
Which is on page 255. Pecan is my favorite nut. And actually, my daughter was making these recipes for a macrobiotic summer conference just a few weeks ago here in the Berkshires. And she was using Sachi's recipe. And my daughter actually lives in Russia. She came all the way from Russia to attend the conference. Her family is over there, her two children, but she came over to run the cafe. So she was making a medley of desserts from the cookbook, and everybody loved them.
Great. Well, I want to congratulate you both on the book, and I understand today, taping the show a little bit earlier, but today's the official published date of the book that's being released, and I wish you the best of success as you continue to teach people about healthy cooking, in this case, the macrobiotic style, vegan macrobiotic style, and so that it helps so many people to enjoy better health and wellness and also a longer life. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Isadal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's it for this week. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.